Hey yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey yo, I'm Addy.
Okay, let's go anytime now.
Okay, anytime now.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. Welcome to day four of Mo's second wife.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. In case you missed it, and most of you didn't, because this is right behind the Warrior retrospective as our most popular show of the year. I'm thinking we'll end up the most popular show of the year. I literally, it wasn't a work, it wasn't a gag, took a drink and started choking and almost died on the air, and yes. Addy saved my life.
I did.
Last episode.
I am a hero. By the way, Mo, I just would like to point out, you may have had two lives, but you don't have two slammies.
That's true. Now, do I owe you a life debt? Where what? I have to do whatever you say now and, until I save your life? Do I owe you a life debt?
That could be good. Yeah, let's do that.
Well, I'd like to thank all the people, though, their concern. I know some of you have laughed at all the letters and, you know, the wishes and the get-wells.
How many did you get?
Well, anyways, I'd like to thank you for those people who sent them. And but speaking of which, though, there's been people asking me also, because you remember last year, for 2013, you had a New Year's resolution.
That was, yes.
Let's remind people.
Yes, what, 2013, my New Year's resolution was not to be an asshole.
Yeah, for the entire year.
Yeah.
And skin of the just barely.
It was tough.
You go back and listen to the archives.
It was tough.
And people could tell the difference between you then
and
you
now.
Yeah.
Night and day.
Night and day. They could tell the difference. Because that was when you were not an asshole for a whole year.
For an entire 365 days.
You're so nice. And
the whole time that CM Punk, when CM Punk was champion, not an asshole.
A whole year.
Yeah.
And then people have been asking me. They're like, how is he doing? He hasn't told us. This year, now, remind people, what was your resolution for this year, for 2014?
To be an asshole.
So go back to yourself.
That's it, to be an asshole. So,
and how are you doing on it?
It's wonderful. Just last week, I saved your life, meaning that all of these listeners have to hear you talk. And they're going to be cursing me.
Because you're an asshole.
And months to come, because I did that to them.
Yes, that's right.
WeTalkWrestling.com, and please follow us on iTunes.
Yeah. Stitcher, TuneIn Radio,
The TuneIn Radio.
Write the email right on the side. You put it in the email and we'll send you a little updates whenever we put something up, like our shows or one of our many blogs.
Yes, one of our many blogs. Yes.
Daily almost.
So yes, but anyway, let's get
it's in. Daily.
Let's get into some wrestling.
What?
Some wrestling.
Okay.
Okay. Seth Rollins.
Who?
He's a heel.
Yes, he is.
Yes, he is.
And as soon as this happened, I was sending out on Twitter, I'm like, I don't like this. And you're like, well, I don't know if I would have done it, but I'm happy for him.
Yeah.
I'm thinking he's stupid. And now that you've had some time to collect your head and think more clearly. And and as people do, because people, these
things
happen.
I know where you're going with this, and yes, I immediately regretted saving your life.
Yeah. And the thing is, well, people do know, if they're regular listeners to the show, they know two things about you. Number one, last year, not an asshole. This year, an asshole. The third thing, not very bright.
Yeah, those are the two things you need to know about me.
A? An asshole last year. Two? This year.
An apostrophe.
Not very bright.
Anyway, Seth fucking Rollins. I mean, it came out at the beginning of Ron and Batista quit to go promote Guardians of the Galaxy, right?
Yeah.
So he's, because he wants the belt, right? He's like, I want my fucking title shot, fuck.
Well, if you're not in the WWE to win the belt.
That's right.
Yeah.
Then you're Santino.
Yeah.
But if you go in and he quit, and then so then they were made Reigns against Randy Orton as the main event. Now, as the main event, I was watching with all of our wonderful followers.
Well, it's because Hunter said Evolution. Well, he said, it's not over. He's like, you think it's over just because you swept us. It's not over. I never lose, right? So
that's
you got to
right.
do this. And yeah, and
you think you know it's over. I know it's not over.
And Batista's like, well, I'm done with those guys. I want the title shot I was never given, the one I was promised.
The one-on-one.
And he's like, well, you can't have that because, you know, these guys have been kicking our ass, and we got to take care of that first.
Yeah. Anyway, so he's like, fuck it, I quit. And then they made RKO against Roman Reigns as the main event. And now, as we're watching it all with all of our wonderful Twitter friends, we were coming to realize that it's like 9 o'clock.
And we like most of you. There's a couple, but not so much. Most of you, yeah.
It's like 9 o'clock, and the show, and the main event hasn't started yet.
Yeah.
So it's immediately a kind of angle alert, which you kind of figured anyway, because it was coming off of the pay-per-view. But, you know, Hunter saying he's always, that was plan A, now he's got plan B. And Seth Rollins hits Roman Reigns from behind with a chair, and then hits Dean Ambrose as well, and they all...
Yeah, because Dean Ambrose is like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
And you know, staring at him, and yeah.
So...
Hits him too, then.
So Seth Rollins is now, I guess, in Evolution. They haven't really explained if it still is Evolution, or if it's just...
They haven't explained it at all, and the other thing is, they came out on Triple H comes out with Rollins on SmackDown.
Still wearing
airing here tomorrow
the
night.
Shield gear.
And they said, people want to know why I do it. And his response, he explained it well. He said, you don't deserve to know why I did it.
You know why he did it? You know why I turned on them is because Monday afternoon at 1:30, a writer pitched the idea to Vince McMahon. That's why.
That's true.
And that's what it is. There wasn't a long-term plan. They were kind of going, okay, well, what the fuck?
Well, it's Sunday afternoon, actually, at 1:30. They actually
was
did
it Sunday?
They
I thought it was Monday. Okay,
no, they
Sunday.
Did decide
the
Sunday.
Before. Okay.
The day before, they decided in the mid-afternoon, which is why, I guess, in the arena, they, after the event, teased some sort of thing between the Shield or whatever.
Yeah.
After payback. I don't know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's not, like you say, not exactly long-term. Even though Rollins has an interview in WWE Magazine where he's talking about how his former partners, that's because they assumed when they went to press like 4 months ago, they're going to be breaking them up to make Reigns the big star.
That was the plan. And still kind of is the plan, although I grow wary of that plan every day. But because I don't know necessarily, maybe, but I don't have this feeling that Roman Reigns is got it.
I don't think he. I think he does have it. I don't think that means he's ready. Because there's having it, and then there's being ready.
But will he? Then will? But usually when you have it, you get it. Maybe not right away.
Him. They've been pushing him, and the plan is being for him to take over for Cena.
Yes,
as the top guy in the company. But they've been pushing him. But they're not. They've never rushed it. And I don't know that they're going to rush it anytime now either.
I just don't see it. I don't see it.
I don't know. We'll see.
Maybe.
We'll see.
Maybe. I mean, you never know, right?
He's lacking. You're right. There's a few things lacking. Number one, he really needs to be carried if he's in a one-on-one match.
Mm.
So he needs the right guy to work with him, like a guy who can make that a great match. Because he's not good in the long matches, which is one of the reasons why he was perfect in the Shield.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the thing about the Shield was so good for all of them, right? Another thing is that he has these moves, like, you know, he has the
Superman
punch
for sure,
which should be his finisher.
Yeah,
he has that kick to the outside. The Superman punch, he always does the right thing, right? He goes and he goes, whoo, and he puts his fist down, like a superhero thing, right?
Yeah.
But he just does it randomly out of nowhere, so the crowd doesn't, he doesn't play to the crowd.
He doesn't turn, look at the crowd, put his fist up, and then put it down, right?
No,
yeah.
He just does it. And then afterwards, the crowd's like, oh, shit, he did that, and they react too late. And at that point, he's already in the air.
Yeah, he does.
So he doesn't know how to play to the crowd and maximize the reaction, like Sean would when he would go for sweet chin. Like, you would know.
Yeah.
You'd look at the crowd before he started kicking the leg.
Yeah, like when Cody Rhodes goes for sweet chin music.
Yeah, exactly. Or like, well, even when Orton was a babyface and he would go for, you know, he would go for the RKO.
Yeah.
He does the
shoulder separator.
They would be, yeah, exactly. But they build the anticipation.
Yeah.
He needs to learn how to do that. Those are the type of little things that that are keeping him, like, it doesn't seem like much, but it is. It's like, those are things that take you to the next level.
Yeah, exactly. It's those inherent little things that, that become a big thing, of, you know, and the little things, right? And I don't know, I just, so, now what we've got is we've got Seth Rollins as a heel, and we've got Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns as the Shield. And as I said, I mean, I wouldn't have, I'm sad on one hand because I wouldn't have done it because I still thought there was so much more you could do. Well, I shouldn't say so much more, but there's more you could do with the Shield.
There's so much more.
There's more you could do.
I know Sunday night we were sitting there going, what do you do next with them? And trying to come up with somebody, but and we were having, and we were struggling some.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean it's the right time to break them up.
No, but,
in fact, I don't think they ever should have broken them up.
But the fact that they have now, and it's done, and it's like, I'm at least happy for Rollins, because, I mean, we talked about it quite often, you know, a year ago, that you know, that it, unfortunately, it could have been a situation where Seth Rollins was the odd man out, and then he started to step it up, and they really started
and
to focus
on. And he realized
he
wasn't going
to
be.
And, yeah, and he wasn't going to be, but now, you know, as
still doesn't, the reason they did it for him was because he was the one who's least
suspected,
yeah. Which isn't a good reason to do it.
No, that's
because it doesn't
not.
Play to his strengths or to Ambrose's strengths. Ambrose's strengths to be grating and get the heel heat most naturally. Rollins' strength is for the high flying baby face offense.
Yeah, it's to me, it's a lot like with Justin Gabriel was a heel in the Nexus. You know, here's a heel, but his finisher is the 450.
Well, all the time you see it. Shawn Michaels didn't play a good heel when he had to wrestle. He played a good heel when he was doing the promo. When he had to wrestle, though, his style was too babyface.
Yeah.
You see it all the time with people. AJ Styles is a great example. Every time they turned him babyface, he wrestled the same way. So his moves were still, the crowd wanted to cheer them because they're fucking fantastic to see these high-flying, spectacular moves.
Yeah.
So, and it's the same thing. Either Rollins, I mean, there's a completely different psychology working heel. Some guys' style, it doesn't matter. Like Randy Orton, he can be a heel. It's the same style, right? But some guys, it really does matter. And Rollins can't do his cool shit. Doesn't mean he can't be as good a worker, but I haven't seen it in him as a worker to be the heel properly.
The thing is,
even when he first came in, and they were heels, but his moves were not.
Well, the thing
is, and they were still trying to establish, hey, he's good.
I always thought that Tyler Black or Seth Rollins, given the opportunity, could take the ball and run with it. Oh, okay.
Don't kill me. By the way, I'd just like to mention, when I came into the room here, that the instrument, near instrument to my death.
Yes, the double gulp.
The double gulp that I was drinking when I went down the wrong pipe was on my chair.
Yeah. It was a Virgil.
Yeah, it was a reminder of my, and even more importantly, it still had the same hop in it.
Yes, I haven't touched it. You're usually thirsty during the show, so I thought, there's your double gulp.
Anyways, you're about to say.
Well, I'm just, with Seth Rollins, I always thought that he could take it if given the opportunity, and at the very least, he is going to get, this summer, some focus on him.
Well, I had said, originally we had worried about him being the odd man out, but then it came to be, he won't be. He may not be the main event guy, but he'll be that Chris Jericho type guy, where it's like, he's always going to be able to have the great matches, and he'll always be in the near the top of the card. Every now and then, he'll slot up into the top spot, because he'll be the right guy at the right time.
Yeah, and right now, he's the right guy at the right time, and this is the first time that he's been being given that opportunity. So now why I'm happy for him is because I feel that he's going to be able to run with it. I have no doubt. And so this is going to be, to me now, the first of hopefully many, as opposed to they're going to jump him up too soon and he's going to fail, and then he's going to become Dolph Ziggler.
And see, and this is where we disagree.
Yes, because you don't think he's ready or his talent.
No, that's not it at all. It's that I think that he is
a schmuck.
Okay, he
is a jobber.
In the Shield, he was a main eventer.
Okay. He was a
last little while he was a main
eventer. Yeah, I guess a main eventer. You're right.
Last little while he's been a main eventer. The Shield is a main event act.
Yes, it is.
So now he's gone from being a babyface main event act to being a heel.
main event act.
Now, as the Shield, they would have continued to be main event act for at least for several months, for years.
That's true, because with Hunter, he's going to be like opening card for probably the next little while, because Hunter likes to keep himself at the bottom of the card.
Well, but the difference is with the Shield, it was even. Everybody was on the same plane. Yeah, there was one guy that was the guy that they see as the future.
There's it.
But they all were treated like, hey, the Shield is united, and that's what makes them great.
Yes.
So they were on the same plane. Now he's Hunter and Randy's little buddy. And he's going to be jobbing out to Roman Reigns. And when this is all over, and Hunter's back and not wrestling regularly, and Orton's babyface again... he's going to be Dolph Ziggler. His chances to continue to be a main event were stronger long-term. I mean, maybe now he gets a little bit of an extra buzz, but long-term, a year from now, 2 years from now, if the Shield is stuck together, he had a better chance to be a main event player than he does after all this is over, I believe.
Well...
And one of the things is...
Just a couple things with that. Is that right now the Money in the Bank plan... is Roman Reigns against Randy Orton and Seth Rollins against Dean Ambrose in singles matches. Uh-huh. That's the plan. So I could see Rollins beating Ambrose.
Yeah, he beats Ambrose, sure.
Sure. But when I say yeah, he had a longer term, or he had a better shot of the Shield being together, of being a main eventer, I would of course agree with that, because the Shield were a main event act. So yeah. If they keep going on, it's unlikely they're going to fall off, right? So they stay a main event act, you know. But then you eventually do have to, all good things.
No.
Will break up.
They didn't have to.
You don't have to do anything. But the reality was that they were
going to
break them up.
They were going to break
them up a Mania, right?
I know, they were going to. And that would have been a mistake, because they had main event babyface appeal, and they still had it. And so to do it now is stupid as hell. Because right now you lack a lot of babyface main eventers, and Roman Reigns can be exposed as a main event by himself.
Well, that's...
And yeah. And Seth Rollins can be exposed by himself, too, here. Because Seth Rollins... we talked about this before. Why do they work? Because Reigns can come in and do the power moves and the heavy spots and the quick spots and get over. Mm-hmm. And look like a monster. Ambrose can talk and Rollins can wrestle.
Yeah. Now, at some point, too, it should be pointed out that the Planets at one point was for... Rollins and Ambrose to end up in.
And I certainly thought when he hit him with the chair and Ambrose looked at him like, what are you doing?
He was going
to
smile.
Then all of a sudden he was going to smile and he was going to pass the chair over to him, and that's what I thought.
Yeah.
But even then, and we'll get into all of that too, but even then, again, you talk about the old Heyman adage. You accentuate the strengths.
Yeah.
And you hide their weaknesses.
I thought you were going to say wins and losses matter.
Well, that too. Yeah. But you accentuate the positives, you accentuate the strengths, you hide the weaknesses.
Yeah.
The Shield did that for each and every one of these guys.
They did.
And
it's a lot like 3MV.
He won't have that when he's by himself, and he won't have that when he's with Triple H and Randy Orton in the same way. Like This is why this group could have been successful.
Yeah.
And why they didn't need to break them up, and why any of them could be world champion and have different runs and be different things, but still be a group. That's one of the many reasons why I think it's wrong. Plus, right now, they're just getting hot and they hadn't even peaked yet.
No, I don't think they had peaked necessarily yet.
And you don't rip that up before you have a chance to happen.
The one thing it does do, though, is a little bit with what we talked about with the Shield and Raw. We did talk about the numbers game.
Yeah.
And now it does, you know.
But we had come up with a solution for that.
We did, but I'm just saying, at this point, it does. The story that they more than likely will get to is that it is sort of a 3-on-2, right?
Yeah.
Unless
Adrian Neville or something like that.
Sami Zayn was the man.
No, not Sami Zayn.
So Sami Zayn was the one that was thrown out as the most ready to come up.
No.
That's
Dave Meltzer said that. Nobody's actually said that.
No, actually, that was we got a tweet like immediately like that night, like within an hour.
Oh, somebody asked.
That's all I was saying. It's just
yeah. I mean, the style wise, a better fit. personality and style-wise, look-wise, would be Tyson Kidd would be a great fit, for instance, right?
Yes. You know, I don't think Adrian Neville, though.
Better than Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn is too much of the underdog. And that's another reason that, like, we talk about why hadn't the Shield peaked? Well, it's simple. They're still establishing themselves, even though they're main eventers, but they're still establishing themselves.
Yeah.
Everybody's weaknesses are hit and strengths are highlighted. The other thing is that the fact that they had, that The Rock had, that Steve Austin had, that Hulk Hogan had,
yeah,
that John Cena had for about a week and a half, I think,
yeah,
and that Daniel Bryan, God love him, and never has had.
No.
And that's the cool factor.
Yeah.
And they were cool.
Yes.
And when I say that they're cool, the Horsemen were cool, and you know, the
DX were cool.
DX was cool. And all these groups that drew.
The Bariquas were cool.
No. All these groups that drew, or these superstars like Hogan and Austin and The Rock, they were cool like them.
Randy
Savage. And that's why they had not. That's the thing. John Cena is not fucking cool. Daniel Bryan is an underdog. He's not cool. John Cena's not cool because he's just John Cena.
Yeah.
And
although on Total Divas, he's very cool.
Well, yeah.
That's like a great character.
So is Daniel Bryan on there too. But in real life, none of this is real life. But you know, his persona is not cool. His poopy persona.
Right.
And that's another factor that they've been lacking for so fucking long.
The poop factor.
Having a person who's at the top of the card who people consider is cool.
Yes.
Who is the old expression.
Carlito.
The guys want to be with, or the girls want to fuck them, the guys want to be with them. The Shield had that. Want to get a beer with them. Or whatever the expression
is.
Oh,
I see.
You know? Guys want to be, like them or hang with them. The girls want to fuck them, right? The Shield had that. All of them, like, especially as a group.
You wanted to fuck the Shield?
The girls did.
Oh.
Yeah.
You wanted to fuck the Shield.
And and like I say, this is where,
Colin Cassidy comes in
there. Yeah. Well, no.
Actually, there's that Jason Jordan guy, but
No. None of those guys aren't right.
No.
Tyson Kidd, like, is a better fit in a lot of ways.
Yeah, he's got baggage, though.
I know.
So, I don't know anybody that's a fit, to be quite honest.
But there is no fit, and that's part of it. That's why you had something that was perfect, that when you threw them together, you never knew.
So you think Curtis Axel would be a good fit?
No. Like,
be perfect.
Be perfect. Better than perfect.
Yes.
Be a good fit. I wonder who Pat Patterson thinks would be a good fit.
Pat Patterson.
We'll get there.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's been so long since they had somebody who's cool.
Yeah.
So because of that, you can build your company around somebody who's cool. And people are just starting to get to that. So that's why they're nowhere near their peak. And now it's like, you know what? They're not going to be as cool when it's just the two of them. Like, they're just not.
No, they're not.
And Rollins won't be as cool when he's with those other guys, right? Which leaves, once again, maybe the coolest guy in the company is what? Like, fucking Randy Orton or Dolph Ziggler? Like,
Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, like,
Bray Wyatt.
Considering how badly you needed this and how long it's been since you had it, to fuck it up and piss it away, it's a huge mistake.
Yeah, I get the timing part of it as the mistake of it. There's some, as I said, there was the speculation afoot of adding another member, which I think would be a mistake. Maybe Crush could come in, right? Drozdov or something.
Yeah.
But I mean, there was that. There's the other theory that.
You know
Seth
who
Rollins
you know who
Seth the, Rollins is infiltrating Hunter, and ruse on behalf of the Shield. Which, no, I don't see that either. But
the problem with that is you do that if you're even with them or you're a little behind them. But when you're kicking their ass 3-0, you have no reason to pull that ruse. Though that's another thing. You didn't offer an explanation. This really does piss me off. The night of payback, it's over. You beat them 3-0. You all put your fists together. Yeah. You're united.
Yes.
There's no logical reason for the storyline other than you need to do a swerve and do something. Ratings are down. Our pay-per-view buys are down. We're scared. We need to do something to shock people. Instead of doing the smart thing and going, hey, let's build from the ground up. We got something here. It's going to take a while. But this is what we did before, and it's going to get big. Instead, you've gone, oh, God, we got to shock people, and you fucking Russo'd it.
You did Russo it, because what you should have done, and no, I mean, not meant as an offense to Seth Rollins, but you're scared that the ratings are down, and you wanna shizok some people. Well, I mean, and then turn Cena. That's all you got left.
And I thought that promo with Stephanie, to me, laid the ground in a lot of ways for a Cena turn.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, perfect. This is, and I don't think it was on purpose, but little things like him not putting over, he put over Daniel Bryan, but not as strong as
he's good.
Yeah. And Stephanie put over Cena, and they hate you as much as they hate me, and all this little stuff.
Yeah.
To me, I was like, oh, this is perfect, but that's not what they're doing.
Well, no, that
and even
when
then,
was that
doing, what's that?
When that was on Raw?
Yeah.
I thought they were setting up Jericho against Daniel Bryan. Wasn't Jericho back on Monday? Talked about Stephanie being a slut and having boobies.
And her boobies, yeah. So funny.
Thought Jericho would...
You know who's the best fit? I just realized who's the best fit, and it's too bad because I can't add him.
Stephanie?
Well, I mean, no. the best fit for this group? Incredible fit.
Diesel?
Samoa Joe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fucking perfect.
Mm-hmm.
He could come right in, and then you could do 3-on-3 and whatever, and it would be great.
That's
he's
true.
He's not available.
Yeah.
But he has the cool
or
factor.
You could have Senshi come back. What was his name? Caval. And he could have 3-on-2.5. He could be the third man in the Hornswoggle-Torito feud. In fact, are we sure that Torito isn't Caval?
No, we're not.
We are not sure, folks.
Fucking mask.
@ADDIE @WeTalkWrestling.com. If you have a picture of Torito and Caval together in the same place to disprove my theory,
or
but until I am proven wrong,
or
Caval is Torito.
Addie will also accept a picture of the two of them fucking.
Yes.
If you want to do that.
Or porn of any kind.
And he does mean any kind.
I got somebody fucking... I got Brie Bella fucking a goat sent to me.
Yeah.
That was from Total Divas, I think. But, I just think that... The Seth Rollins thing, I'm willing to let it play out. I think long term this is going to not be good. I agree with you there. But I'm happy for Seth just to see... You know, I mean, give him a shot.
Again, but it's not giving him a shot. In that he's
not
in a better place. Like, if he was in a better place, that would be
But
one
at this
thing.
Point, he's not in a...
He's not a worse place.
He's not a worse place yet. He could be.
Which is what...
But
you
he
say,
could
that
be in
was
a better
the fear,
place.
was that they were going to break them up, and he was going to be in a worse place.
Yes. But he's not. Dean Ambrose might be. But he's not.
Maybe.
I mean, right now.
I don't think he's going to... But
I don't know. He's the guy now.
He's definitely... He was already presented as the weak link. Because
you had the guy...
He was already presented as the guy who would lose the match.
That's right. You had the guy that Roman Reigns, they thought was a star. You always had the guy that was going to turn. And then you had the other guy.
Which is... And that's the other thing about Ambrose is, though, another reason why he's a good heel... He'll, if you can talk good enough of the charisma and a big enough dick that you can get people to boo you, you can lose and still continue to get
heat. Yeah, that's right.
And, you know, but the baby faces can't do that.
But then at some point you become Dolph Ziggler, right? I mean, Ziggler's got everything to do that. And he's still just, I mean, losing to Del Rio in a Money Bank qualifying
match. Tomorrow night he's losing and tapping clean to Del Rio. And I've never seen that. As soon as I saw that match.
Wow. I don't know. Del Rio is Mexican.
And
so I don't know about tapping clean.
A dirty Del Rio.
A dirty Del Rio. See, what you do is you get your guy a cross arm breaker.
I performed that move on your mom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Where the hell was I going? Yeah, no, he's got, like you say, as soon as I saw that match, I'm seeing, okay, here's two former Money in the Bank winners, and one of these guys isn't going to be in. I hope they do, like, everybody loses, and then there's a final scramble match or something like that, where one guy gets in, and it's Ziggler at the end. just because he should be in the match because of the style of match. He's suited towards it. But yeah, I mean, back to this Reigns thing.
Here's the other. Well, let's kind of tie this into. We mentioned a little bit about Bubini there, Stefani talking to Cena. The one thing as a sidebar to this, when we talked about the plan right now, is to have Roman Reigns against Randy Orton, and to have Rollins
and house shows on tag matches and
Rollins
shit.
And Ambrose. And I mean, you could again eventually you could do a tag on some shows too here, but. One thing Stephanie said is with Daniel Bryan, if he's good to go, he will defend the title against Kane in a stretcher match. And if he's not good to go, then the Money in the Bank becomes an 8-man ladder match for the belt instead of the briefcase.
Without those poor,
potentially,
obvious guys.
Potentially. I have a feeling that if it gets to the point where they're not good to go, you're going to see those guys in. I think... You're going to get to this.
Maybe.
You're
going
to be in a lot of these. And I think we talk about their short-sighted booking or their short-term booking and everything. I think this is a situation where if you're going to wait till the Monday before the pay-per-view to say whether this is for the belt or not for the belt, then you're also waiting to say this is for the belt and these are the guys that are in it.
And it's really very... I mean, they only booked one guy in so far, right?
Yeah.
Del Rio. And what, 6 guys or 8 guys? What
is I think
it?
It's 8.
I think it's 8?
I think it's 8.
It could be 10. Who knows?
Well, that's... I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it really is 50-50 as to whether or not Daniel Bryan will be there. I mean...
He's had some complications from the neck surgery.
Yeah, his arm is actually losing strength instead of gaining strength.
Yeah.
In the rehab. Which is obviously scary beyond just... You know, the obvious.
Yeah.
Right? But on the other hand, he's the type of guy who will work hurt.
Well.
And they have let guys work hurt before.
Well,
and
they're working.
John Cena worked hurt against him.
The whole point of the ultimate. Like, this is essentially a shoot ultimatum.
Yeah.
If he's good to go, there will be a title match. If he's not good to go, the belt will go up in a ladder match. It really is all to him. So you talk about your do whatever you think is best, Daniel. We want the best for you. Look, we've set this up.
Yeah.
Knowing that, no, really, if you don't fucking come back, you're not the champion. And what John Cena kind of said was shot too, is that you probably won't be the champion again. So,
yeah.
or at least get another run, right?
You don't get the shot. Like, I know I'm going to get another shot. You don't, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's a very, like, I don't, like,
It's not a shoot, but the line
But it is.
It's so you know? Close to reality.
There's reality within the storyline.
Yes, okay, that's perfect,
You know? And, yeah, it's very uncomfortable. Like, I don't know what's going to happen. So we literally don't know.
This should be at SummerSlam, though. Because then we could be asking, what's going to happen at the SummerSlam?
That's true. But, yeah, no, it is, it's very much, yeah.
Because, I mean, Jesus Christ, and you talk about a neck injury.
You can call me Mo.
And, Jesus Christ, ate a lot. He's got the whole world in his belly. Oh, I think, though, that, I mean, you talk about the plan right now. If he's back and he's good to go and he's going to fight Kane, he's going to beat Kane, and he's coming back too soon from a goddamn neck injury where he's losing strength in his arm just to come back and keep the run, at the SummerSlam, he's going to be facing Brock Lesnar. Like, Jesus. So you give someone that's coming back too soon from a neck injury, and Brock Lesnar is the guy that you have him against?
And, again, it also becomes, okay, Daniel, now take your next month off. You know, or takes the next time off. Or, no, we need you for these house shows. You've shown you can go. Or, like, who knows how. Like, there's a lot of factors in play again here. And
I still don't think 2 months out of major, 3 months at that point out of major neck surgery, and losing strength and not healing properly. I want to go in with Brock Lesnar.
Well, no, God no.
But fake also, or not fake?
Fake or not fake? and that's another thing is, and I wouldn't book him against Lesnar anyways.
But well, they are.
I know.
So,
but I wouldn't. But yeah, I don't know. It's a very you know, again, if he's having these issues with his neck and his arm is not recovering,
yeah,
there is a reason for that. And
steroids?
No. Cool. Actually, that's probably what could help him here.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, your body is telling you something here. And that's, it's not a good sign, but you know what? Your body's, it doesn't give a shit about your financial situation or your schedule or anything else. It's saying, this is what I need. I need to heal. I need this done. I need a different profession. I need whatever. So it's, yeah, it's not good.
It's not. It really isn't. And that's, it's scary. And it's, you know, like, this is somebody that had a great potential, right? To be around, maybe again to be a guy, right? He's moving. Yeah. He's a ratings mover now.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, and they haven't had a non John Cena, non, you know, Attitude Era or Hulk Hogan ratings mover type guy in not that Hulk Hogan moved ratings, but a legend, I guess, coming back, or John Cena, were all that was moving ratings. You know, CM Punk, for everything you say, wasn't a ratings mover.
Yeah, he was cool, but he didn't move ratings. I mean, Rey Mysterio moved ratings at one point, but they fucked him up.
And did you hear about the Rey Mysterio deal?
No.
That, well, here, let me just...
I know that they want him in a Legends deal or something like that, right? Or,
well, no, he was renewed for another year, but it's potentially a legal situation. What? Mysterio was looking to leave, Vince McMahon renewed it for another year, citing the time he'd been out of action during the previous contract due to injuries. So he's on the injured list and is now under contract. They kind of said, you know, we signed you for another year or whatever the last year, and you were hurt for it, so we're going to keep you to that. Because they have that option in those contracts if you're hurt to tackle.
In other words, we don't want to lose all those masks you sell.
Exactly. Exactly. Until Kalisto can get to the main roster. You know?
Maybe. Maybe. But, yeah, it's, anyways. Yeah, so we will see what happens there. And we will see what happens, like you say, with Rollins.
I mean, coming out of Raw, for as boring as the 3 hours kind of was, the Seth Rollins thing, I mean, it's like they say with the wrestling shows, you know, if you can end it well, you know, you're doing all right, because that's what people remember, right? Exactly. So, I mean... People are talking about Seth Rollins. There's some interest. I mean, I got the Money in the Bank pay-per-view coming
up.
It's
not the right type of interest. I mean, you go back to it. Like, talk about them being cool. When they were about to split them up, there was a sense in the crowd that were like, fuck no, please, don't do it. Come on, we want to see them as baby faces.
Yeah.
And there's still that. And I didn't get a sense that this turn made people go, fuck you, Seth Rollins. How dare you do that? I can't wait to see Roman Reigns beat the shit out of you.
Couple things.
The feeling that the crowd went, oh, that's stupid. Fuck off.
No, well, there were you sold out chants. Actually, that was probably what the crowd was probably the liveliest for that and the Stephanie segment. But quite frankly, crowds...
Yeah, it was a smart crowd. Well, except for Ajami.
Crowds have sucked donkey dink for the last, what?
Until Chicago and Indiana.
Yeah. Yeah, well, but that was because...
And speaking of sucking donkey dinks, again, hi, Steven.
Yeah. Was his name Lance Stevenson? Oh, my God. That was a death hour of Raw. What's his name there?
Yeah, who's on our show?
Yeah. I know him.
Yeah.
He's a fuck. Lance Stevenson segment with fucking Big Show and Sandow, and then
awful.
Immediately followed by Bo Dallas talking about the Miami Heat and LeBron James in the next segment. I'm thinking, like, really, is this what the fucking second hour is going to be? The rag on the local sports team hour,
cheap heat hour, cheap heat hour.
That was brutal.
Yeah,
but I mean, you said the Rollins thing. There's I'm interested to see where it goes. I'm interested at this point to see, you know, I don't want to say, you know, to see if we're right or what becomes of
the situation. Well, you know, history has shown I'm right often.
Hmm?
We'll get to that later, but I am right about things.
No, you're on my left.
I actually am.
Yeah, see?
Well, actually, I'm kind of all around you.
That's true. You're everywhere. That's a double gulp. But I,
Diet.
Diet. Oh, it's good. Diet.
Yeah. But no, I mean, like I said, I had more of a sense that people went, fuck off. Click. I mean, that they went, I'm going to see, get it, even within, like,
I don't think people were clicking. I think people were like, okay, well, what's next? I think there's...
I don't think so. To me, it's misunderstanding your audience again. Like, they kept on saying, the tagline is, believe in the Shield.
Yes.
And the crowd just wants to, like, they've so many times put their faith behind a guy, like Ziggler, and had the WWE,
CM Punk,
and had the WWE fuck them over.
Yeah, they're getting fucked. They get fucked every time. We talked about this with the, we didn't talk so much about it with the Shield, because
they weren't.
Well, no, it's not because they weren't, it's because
they also weren't.
Well, we knew that they were going to break up. That was the talk. They're break up, they're staying together for now, maybe they're going to break up around SummerSlam. But that doesn't mean
they changed their mind, and they didn't have to, and again, it's the same thing. It's like the crowd just really wants to cheer these guys, and they just really want to actually be able to believe in something. Believe that you're not going to pull
and
it out from
them. They're
not going
to get that. They're never going to get that. You know what? You are never going to get that. We talked about time and time again. No, yeah, I know, but there's no point in getting worked up about it. That's why it's like, I wouldn't have done it, but I'm happy to see. And I'm actually more interested.
The crowd was able to get behind Hulk Hogan because for years he was on top.
Yes.
And you didn't fuck him like that. And no, when they finally did, it meant something.
We went through this with Daniel Bryan. We went through this with Dolph Ziggler. We went through this with CM Punk.
But again, it's misunderstood. Like, your crowd.
I got angry with CM Punk, and then I came to grips that this is just what's going to happen, and I'm still at those grips that there are no going to be. I mean, there'll be high periods.
But I'm not talking about me. I'm not even talking about you. I'm talking about the audience just going,
I know.
Like, when we're talking about them, talking about misunderstanding your audience, like talking about building it up and telling people about the product and pumping it up and being, you know... They want to be able to believe in something. They want something, and this was one of the. This group was something that could go, okay, let's. I want to, these guys. They're my home team, and I want to see my team be competitive and be a championship contender for years.
Well, they're a top babyface act, right?
This can be my home team because I know I can cheer them, and you know I can believe in them. And you've taken that away, and there's. I think that is some. It's so rare that they can find that. Yeah. Again, misunderstanding the audience. There's times you can do this.
It's misunderstanding.
There's times it's the right time to do this.
I think
this isn't. And let's go through it this way. What are the most successful heel turns of all time?
Hogan.
Okay. Why did that work?
Because he was a babyface for so long. Yes, he was a top babyface for so long.
And what in this is the same? And what is different? What about Hogan's turn... Can you apply to this, or can you not apply to this to see success or failure? I mean, it's pretty obvious.
I think it's completely different in that you had the face.
Okay, then give me another one.
You had an icon of wrestling go.
But the thing was, it was the right time. The crowd was ready.
Yes, it was. You're right. You're right. But also, it was.
Then they do it with Austin. It's not the right time.
It wasn't the right
time. And it failed.
That's right. So again, I
do it with Goldberg. It's not the right time. And it fits.
Well, that's because he didn't have a blonde wig. But I think that... he did it with Sting a couple times. I mean, the thing is...
But you did it with... When he did it with Savage, it was okay, or it was okay.
Yeah.
Because of who they're doing it to.
But
the timing and the storyline is there long term. And all the factors. And everything that has made the most successful...
Yeah.
Turns, this doesn't have. And everything that's made the most fucked up, worst turns, this does have.
I'm going to be interested, again, a year from now, a Royal Rumble from now, you know, January, just to be able to look back and see where everybody are. Because the thing with me that what they're looking at is, yes, okay, the Shield worked. The Shield was a babyface group that they could get behind. But I think in the WWE's mind, they were getting behind Roman Reigns' group. Not the Shield, in their mind. And so that's where, you know, Dean Ambrose, to a certain degree, and Seth Rollins become expendable, because
I think you're right until the point where they first started teasing the breakup, and that's where Rollins actually was the guy who brought them back together.
Yes.
And he saw the different sides of the personalities.
Yeah.
And I think that's when they went, oh, wait, it's the group that makes it work. And that's why they didn't.
They obviously didn't. You know, we saw
again, it's a panic move. It's because the ratings the last 2 weeks have been like all time lows.
Yeah,
and So, the network's not doing so well.
Let's
pay-per-views, you know, like, everything's not, nothing's good.
No.
So, it's a panic move. But, yeah. You know what, how often does WCW, again, you know, you're not doing well. Well, something's going to happen on pay-per-view. It's going to be a game changer. Russo's promising it. It's going to be the biggest thing since. So they turned Russo, or they told turn Goldberg heel. It's because things were on a downward slide, and they were desperate, and they were thinking that would give them, and it made it even things work even worse.
Yes, it did.
And this is not to the same level, but it's the same basic.
Pretty close, yeah.
There's some parallels. So,
there are parallels, and I'd like to see, as I said, next week, we talk about it 2 weeks from now, we talk about after the Money in the Bank pay-per-view, we talk about I'll be interested to see where. That's what I said. At this point, I'm at least interested in the coming month of WWE in terms of this particular storyline. To see.
I know what you're saying. I have a little interest too, but holy fucking! That wasn't you almost dying. That was just you being stupid.
I kicked my headset off.
Are we sure that is it still on? Okay.
It's Bailey.
Like I said, I kind of have some interest, but there's almost no storyline reason they can give me that I'll buy.
That's fine.
Nah, it's not fine.
Whatever.
Like, I can't think of a single
thing. You hold them to a higher standard than I do.
Yeah.
Because I hold them to their I hold them
you
to
realize they're dummies.
Yes, they are. They are complete monkeys.
Yeah, but I'm not. You are. But I am not. So I expect, there's almost no storyline reason.
You might be a gorilla.
Orangutan.
Makes me the brain. But I just look at it, and as I said, we'll see where they go. We'll see where they go.
What are we going to try and do tonight?
What?
Take over the world.
What?
The same thing we do every night.
Oh, yeah.
You're the brain!
I am, and you're Pinky.
Have you been looking at me naked?
It's hard. But I think, what else do we got here to talk about? I think we've
that's an awkward position.
Yeah, we've Rollinsed out on this.
We've Rollins the fuck out.
I mean, we've gone
keep Rollins,
basically
Rollins,
an
Rollins,
hour
Rollins,
on Rollins. And,
keep
and,
Rollins, 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 Rollins.
Speaking of, you mentioned the panic maneuver. What a panic maneuver.
Yeah.
But that Vinnie Mac and friends are doing as a result of course, the ratings.
Hey, there's your dog.
Hey, yeah, there he is.
I'm petting your willy.
You are. It's hard. But I think that with the network numbers and the pay-per-view, they come out, WrestleMania buys have been at least preliminarily announced. And I think 650,000 worldwide homicide are the amount.
This is almost the exact same number as you gave on the air when you did that, when you broke down the numbers and why they would work months ago and made that a few weeks back.
Right.
We made that prediction, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's almost exactly what you said.
650, yeah, 1,000. Yeah, that's just it. Now,
you're incredible.
I know.
Nostradamus-like.
But, I know. But, I think that the bigger thing here is...
Actually, that was me.
What?
Made those predictions weeks before anybody else, broke it down exactly why it would happen, and came out on every single factor dead on. Predictions domestic, predictions international, total money, predictions on network number, all of it.
You did?
Right fucking here.
You did?
Yeah.
Huh. Must not have heard you.
But I did.
Huh. But, I mean, I think the bigger thing here is...
No, nothing's bigger than the fact that...
Nothing is bigger than
money.
You. I get it.
That's what your mom says.
You are right, and that is the first time that you've been right, so we should celebrate this.
Not the first time, it's just again.
Just
you
again.
Do this all the time. See, this is what pisses me off. We'll be on our way to get food, we're talking about the podcast, and you'll go, you know what, just like you said a few weeks ago, you were right on this, and then you'll get on the air... And on the air, you'll never say what you said in the car. It's like, just like you said, I'm always making these predictions, and they're coming true weeks or later. It constantly happens, and you never publicly state it. So right now, I want you to not be an asshole. Oh, wait, no, I'm done now, because there's no chance.
It's my resolution.
Yeah.
I have to be true to my resolution, you fat fuck. But I'm interested in this 250,000 international buys.
That I predicted?
Because those are the people then, I mean, and you look at last year's number, like 500,000.
Yeah.
And 600,000, you know, the year before.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we're talking about 667,000 people owning the network and it's only available, quote unquote, in the United States, and yeah. we know we're here in Canada and we just watch Legends, how's on the network, because
yeah.
We got it. And Europe, a hot market for WWE that wants this kind of stuff or has those kind of fans.
Not a hot market, but the people, the cult following, the cult-like love of it, that's what's strong, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's not within the populace as much as it is here, but those people who are fans
are more devoted. Yes, and people that would be apt to buy the network.
Yes.
And are, if there's like 250,000 less buys internationally, I mean, you got to figure that at least 200,000 and 250,000 of those are network subscribers.
That's about right.
And so you're looking at then, you know, when you go to expand this internationally, you're going to get some people. You're going to get some people that, oh, the network is now available for me, that aren't going to go ahead and get like we did and say, fuck it, I'll figure out a way to get it.
Mm-hmm.
People won't be bothered. They'll just wait their turn. Like Cassidy is going to wait her turn until this comes to Canada, and then she's going to get the network, right? But we said, fuck it, and we went out and
got it. Or she might be like some people and just say, yeah, we did, but we're, you know, beyond what even most people are. But again, especially you. Yeah. But, I mean, we should talk about what we're watching on the network lately. But that's the thing, though. I mean, you talk about how devoted people are. Some people, they would love to get the network and they know it's cheap, but they can just go, the same reason they're not ordering pay-per-views anymore. Ah, but there's 5-6 hours on free TV. Like, I get enough wrestling. And I'm going to get these same matches. And I get, like, all this. So, it's tough.
It is. And it gets to the point, though, that if you're looking at 400,000 U.S. now buyers of WrestleMania, I mean, I said that to you earlier today. It's like that's your network base now. Those are the people that bought the pay-per-view that theoretically don't have the network. Some would have both because they don't trust the network. They weren't trusted in the first live event.
Like 50,000.
Yeah. So I mean, so you're sitting between say like 350,000 and 500,000 people. Based on that number, that would want to order the network in the United States. So, I mean, when you're talking about, you know, 3 million and all this stuff, A, you've got maybe 1 million people in the United States that will get it right now. Maybe.
That seems like...
Yeah, that...
Even that seems high.
If you could add 400... If you could add the 400,000, though, it would be 1 million.
Okay.
You know, so if you said 350, you would still be at 1 million.
Okay,
so you could potentially be at 1 million. Potentially. Like I said, I don't think, but potentially. But then you open it up internationally, and it seems like the 250,000 people internationally already have the network.
Yes.
So it's, and it could be as high as half.
Yeah.
You know? So, you could, when you're looking at this, we're going to open this up to the rest of the world, and then, boom, look at what's going to happen. It's going to be like a giant launch, like when we launch it in the States. It's not.
And again, if they're talking about they need it to be, like, what are they saying? Like, they need it to be about 1.2 or something like that?
They need to average, I think, 1.2.
But when they get to, it's like 1.7 or something like that, they get worldwide, they need to get to?
No, they need to average 1.1 or 1.2 throughout the year.
Yes, but that was just in America.
Right.
And then they need to average like 1.7 or something like that worldwide. And now it doesn't...
Why would that matter, though?
I don't know.
I don't understand that.
They're paying for extra bandwidth, I guess. Converting to different languages or whatever it is.
A half million viewers each week?
Yeah.
In 7 different languages.
7.
World Wrestling Federation. The worldwide leader in sports entertainment.
True.
Just watched the 97 Raw on the network, actually. Yeah. Great sure. Brian Pillman and Owen Hart match.
I'm sure you did.
What are you watching on the network, by the way?
Let's get to that in a second. I'm saying that their upside is 1.3 million worldwide now.
Yeah.
And that's going to be less than they need. If they need, like, 1.7. You know, to get to that 1.7, we might be looking at 2 or 3 years the way things are. The way things go, you know.
Well, that's the whole thing, is that there isn't going to be this massive...
They're going to make money because they're going to get to the point where it's like a break-even on the network.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it'll ever be the super pop positive, like... It's going to be like a break-even, and then you're making more money on your TV. So you start making money again, but...
I got an email today that says, get your father the WWE Network for Father's Day.
Yeah.
That would be great.
Yeah. Just so when you go over to his house,
so then I'm like, yeah, like holidays and stuff, rather than talking to the family, I could go watch Raw.
Yeah, yeah.
From 94.
I've met your family. I would do that too.
Yeah, I know. You still owe my dad for WrestleMania 13.
And with interest now.
$20 at 15.
That'll pay for a whole year of the network.
That will. See?
Interest here. You worked at the finances. What can you tell me? How much is that interest now?
$6 billion.
So about as much as WWE can afford $1 every year.
$1 for every year they're going to be in business.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
It's going to be perfect.
All right. Well, yeah. I'll tell you what I'm watching on the network.
Yeah.
I always watch. See, my viewing habits, I don't watch it that much. It's there for the pay-per-views, which I actually come over to your place to watch. But
yeah.
Pay-per-views. Live pay-per-views in case for some reason we weren't getting together for one, I'd have it.
Right.
And because to me, I you know, $14-15 a month. I have to pay an extra $5 to them in Canada to be able to hide my IP address properly. So I pay for that, and then I pay basically Netflix and the WWE Network, $25 a month. So for net, I combine them as seeing them as one expense. And for me, $25 a month, since I get my cable bill at 50% off, and even if I didn't, my cable and internet and all that stuff 50% off where I work. But even if I didn't, I'm like $25 a month doesn't, like, that's nothing to me.
Yeah.
Like that's my fucking lunch today.
Yeah.
You know? I think I spent $23 at lunch today.
Yeah.
Like I'm, you know, not saying I'm not rich or anything, but it's not noticeable. Right. And I would think it's like that for most people. I mean, $25 or $20 a month or $10 a month.
Yeah.
So, I mean, so when I'm sitting there going, I don't watch it that much, it doesn't matter to me because it's handy. For me, it's about the convenience, not about what I'm watching. So I'm sitting there going, okay, I can get the pay-per-view if I don't have to, if we're not getting together, if you're busy that night for some reason or whatever.
Right, right, right.
You know, not that anybody likes you, but possible.
Everybody, well, they like the producer.
Yeah, there you go. The producer. I like her too. Yeah. Much more than you.
Yeah.
She could do better, you know.
I know.
Yeah.
A sucker.
So, and I will watch something like Countdown or WrestleMania Rewind, but I don't watch them all, and I don't watch them as soon as they come out. It's just like eventually I'll just kind of roll around to one, and be like, oh, I need to waste an hour. What's on the network? And I'll go and find that, or maybe I'll be like, yeah, I don't mind watching. Let's go check out a Clash from a few years ago or Raw.
Yeah,
but I don't sit there and order and watch them all. I don't sit there and watch, like, I've watched like one Clash and like a couple Raws and like.
Yeah.
Two WWE pay-per-views, and since I've had it, and I don't think I don't watch them all the way through. I just watch a portion of them and turn it off and come back. Or
yeah, a lot of them have that.
Like I'm not. It's to me, it's the convenience that it's available in high quality, and then it's worth it for things like when, like NXT Takeover, so great.
Yeah.
It's worth the whole thing. I don't care.
Yeah.
If I'm not watching any other month because I saw that and it was great.
Yeah.
Or, you know, the
WrestleMania.
The pre-shows and the Warrior documentary and that type of shit.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm watching for. So, I mean, my actual time every week watching it, I would list as about 4 hours a week.
See, and what's funny there, just to jump in, is when you look at it and you say, like, this is worth the $9.99 on its own, right?
Uh-huh.
The WrestleMania stuff was worth $9.99 on its own, so it's like
without even
the actual event. So I got my March money.
Yeah, no, there. That's true.
April,
like I say, it's about the convenience. It's about the fact that I can, I can do the same thing.
But
I would say here's I'm going to break it down a little further. I'm working. If I say about 4 hours a week that I'm watching the network, I'd say about 6 hours a week I'm watching cable television. And again, I pay a lot more for that.
Yeah.
I don't really hardly watch it. I watch Game of Thrones and, you know, like Walking Dead when it's on, Veep, like not much, right? Some sports, a little bit more in NFL seasons on. I watch Netflix probably about 10 hours a week, and I watch YouTube about 4 hours a week. So that's it. I mean, breaking down to about 20-some-odd hours a week, and then play a few video games, read a little, hang out with people. Like, that's kind of the week, right? So I'm not...
Read. You only have movies now.
Man, I went to Gilbert Gottfried last weekend and bought his book.
Yeah?
It's fucking great.
That's the title of it?
The title is Rubber Balls and Liquor.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, for myself, for the network, I just want to point out that we talk about getting our 990.
I watched him on YouTube. Speaking of YouTube, this is it. I go on YouTube, and there's Wife Swap. And I watched the Roddy Piper, Ric Flair Wife Swap.
That's a great episode.
And then I watched the Alan Thicke, Gilbert Godfrey Wife Swap.
Rape Swap?
Wife Swap. Almost, because Gilbert
was his later on it.
As soon as she walks through the door, Gilbert Godfrey's like, oh, you're his. We should have sex. You're the wife of that guy I don't like. That one who, he fired me from his show. I don't like him at all. I know him, I don't like. But we, you know, if we're going to be married, we should have sex. It's just hilarious.
That is hilarious. I think, I actually watched the Ric Flair on cable television when it came out last year. But
YouTube, that's why it's all handy.
But, I mean, I just want to say from the network perspective, it was the WrestleMania pre-show. Okay, I got my $9.99 worth there alone. So there's March, right? April, there's the Warrior documentary.
Yeah.
I got my $9.99 right there. You know, like this NXT.
And then you do watch, but what do we, I mean, those, you're talking about these things being worth the money.
No, I'm just saying that NXT takeover, I got my money's worth.
You watch a lot more than me. You well, watch the Raws, like.
You know, the thing is, I've been watching Raws going back. I'm almost caught up, because what will happen is, like, a Sunday afternoon or something.
You have watched every WrestleMania Rewind. You've watched every Countdown.
I haven't, actually.
Haven't watched this last one that came out yesterday,
The last few. I started to watch them. When they first came out, and I used to okay the day of and such, but then it seemed that with the Raws and the NXT takeovers and the Legend House is a big one too, because
I don't miss Legend House. That's true.
We watch Legend House here before we do the show, and because it's on Thursdays and just convenient,
But because it's fucking funny.
Well, it is, yes. But
we didn't last week, but
that's another hour where I might say, and if that didn't happen, it would be like, if there was no Legend House, it would be like, well, let's watch the latest WrestleMania Rewind or something,
exactly,
right?
Yeah.
Just an hour while we eat to kill, right? So. So I haven't really been watching. I watched the Mega Powers one.
Yeah.
And that came out like, I think that one came out like May 6th.
Yeah, and I haven't watched that one yet.
And that was the last one I watched. So it's been like a month.
And the latest one, I think, was Shawn Michaels and...
Taker.
Taker. Mania 25 or something.
I saw a thing for it. I saw that's there. And I thought, you know,
you're still watching more than me. But you're not sitting there like... I don't think you're sitting there watching the old pay-per-views like you did when it first came out and the man they called B was over. And you guys literally, you're watching win or spin the wheel and make the deal. And you're watching all these old like WCW and WWE pay-per-views.
Yeah.
And you just watched like 15 hours of them.
Oh, yeah. And it was new. I mean, we just got the network.
But I mean, when's the last time you actually watched an old pay-per-view now? You watch the Raws, but when's the last time you watched an old
pay-per-view? You know what I've started to do? And this started with WrestleMania 10. Or no, sorry, the King of the Ring with Art Donovan.
How much does that guy weigh?
But what it is that what I started to do was I'm watching all these Raws now. So they're building the pay-per-views. So then I watch the pay-per-view.
I see. Okay, that makes sense.
So it's like now
so you're watching it because it's in order. It's part of the process.
Part of the experience. So
but
now, Domino
is just like deciding to watch like a random pay per view. You don't do that.
No. Yeah, when the Clashes came out, I did.
You watched a couple.
Watched a couple Clashes.
I watched the very first Clash. Is what I watched.
Yeah, and I watched the very last Clash too.
Oh,
actually.
Yeah.
But Domino's is about to deliver SummerSlam.
Oh my God, you're going to watch Undertaker?
Undertaker against The Undertaker. Oh.
And is that the worst main event?
Yes.
In SummerSlam? WWE pay-per-view history. WWE. We'll say just WWE. Not necessarily pay-per-view history, but WWE pay-per-view history.
Well, it's up there. I mean, it's up there. Diesel fought Mabel the year later.
Yeah.
You know, and we also had Sid and Taker.
Yeah, but I think the crowd was at least in both of those more into it, because the crowd reaction was what really got me, because they built it for so long, and it was so dead.
Yeah.
But really, and it's such a bad match.
And it was, but and they also saw a great cage match.
Yes, that's the thing.
So, and in the case, and I don't remember the crowd being so up for Diesel and Mabel, especially since the crowd just saw a great ladder match.
That's true, yeah.
So, it's, you know, but either, like, I looked at, anyway, that's what they're building towards. Bruce Hart was just on the King's Court, grabbing the microphone and just going talking.
Bruce Hart went to build his business for himself?
Talking over, Lawler's like, let me ask you something, Bruce, and Bruce is already talking.
Of course.
And trying to grab the mic, and you could not, it was so,
he's always building awful, business for himself, that's one of the problems. It's one of the things that held him back.
It was one of the things that held him back. Yeah.
It wasn't alone.
It wasn't alone. But, I mean, so that's what I've been watching. I've been watching all the Raws.
Producer's here. Should we let her know I have not, so far, almost died?
No, we'll let her figure it out for herself. But, don't want to get her hopes up. but I look at the Raws. I'm trying to think. I haven't watched. I mean, I love those countdown shows because I just think they're funny.
They've had
good ones.
Well, especially when it is something where they are making fun of, like, the gimmicks or whatever.
The gimmicks and the worst moments.
Those are more fun.
Yeah. So those are okay. But really, it's been a lot about Legends House and a lot about the old Raws, and then, I mean, Payback and NXT TakeOver, right? I mean, NXT TakeOver was 3 hours there with the post and the pre-show. Yeah. And then you had an hour of Legends House. So I paid
$60 to watch that.
So there's 4 hours right there, though, of one episode of Legends House and NXT. So I watched, you know, that and then some Raws. So I was probably 6 or 7 hours of the network last. And you got to remember, Raws are only 40 minutes.
So you're probably doing about 7 hours a week, and I'm probably doing
about
4.
I probably do about 10. 10? I'd say on average. Okay. Yeah, let's say 10 hours.
Yeah, and how many hours do you do, say, for Netflix?
Well, it depends, because
I'm about 10 for Netflix.
Well, see, Netflix I might say it fluctuates again. I mean, I finished House of Cards.
Yeah.
We're on Orange is the New Black.
Uh-huh.
And you like it? Yeah, I do. And so I
tried one episode. I didn't get into it, but I keep on thinking of trying it.
We got two more episodes. It took me that, too. I had to go back to it. But we got two more episodes in the first season. And you know, so we'll binge watch, though, right? Because whole season's there. So we'll watch 3 episodes in a row. So I would probably say
we watch Friday Night Lights yet?
I hear that's a good show.
Best show ever.
Yeah, we're gonna try that one after Orange is the New Black.
All right.
So, but I think we're up to
Bates Motel. You should try that too.
Master. But I think that we would go to, I would say, maybe 8 hours a week Netflix. And then regular television. I mean, we're into summer, so it's like Last Comic Standing is on again.
Yeah,
that's a great show.
I watch AGT.
Yeah, America's Got Talent. Yeah, that's good. And then Game of Thrones, right, is there still. So, I mean, if we said, I might even say 10 there as well. Yeah. Like 10, 10, 10.
And the thing is, exactly. And again, maybe this will feel a little bit of sports.
I don't like to discriminate.
You don't like to discriminate. There's a little bit of sports. But again, it does get down to.
Not so NFL, really.
And you know what? When I say I'm watching TV, I don't count Raw. Because I'm watching that in my PVR, and I'm watching. It never takes 3 hours.
That's
you know,
true.
And if they do have it on live, it's because I'm on the computer multitasking, doing something else.
That's right, yeah.
I'm muting large sections or whatever, right? So,
So, no, I but that's the...
You don't like to discriminate?
No.
We're talking about you here.
That's true.
Really?
That's true. It makes me, I feel like it holds me in a bad light. Hmm. You know?
Hmm. But, really, you should stop holding yourself.
Really?
Yeah.
But it feels so good. You know, you were so poor when you were born. If you were a girl, you wouldn't have anything to play with.
That was one of the lines. Legends House, they did a roast of Roddy Piper, and of course, he fed back then to the whole.
Yes. But then the Iron Sheik showed up.
It was crazy. And it was pretty funny.
Hillbilly Jim was awesome.
Hillbilly Jim was really good. Tony Atlas, we thought would not be necessarily all that good. He was pretty good.
He made fun of himself.
He made fun of himself and a little more jokes, like stories. We said that I think Jimmy Hart's going to be the worst. You said probably the Fink will be the worst.
And they were.
They were the two worst by far. They were terrible. Duggan was really good.
Yeah, Duggan was good.
And, of course, Roddy was great.
Roddy was great. Even Pat Patterson was good.
Yeah, even Pat. But the thing is that a lot of the jokes that they did when they were talking to the writers, they brought in somebody, people helped them punch these up. A lot of those were better than the ones they actually showed at the post.
Yeah, I know.
So.
But, and then, yeah, Legends. So that was Legends. That was building to this roast. And then.
What was the one the Piper said? What was it he said about poor Hacksaw Jim Duggan? He's being known as he's being called so stupid or something like that.
Jim Duggan's been called. I'm not saying Jim Duggan is stupid, but at one point he was referred to as the White Tony Atlas. good shit.
It was fucking funny. Oh, it was so funny.
But you know the.
But then it took this weird turn at the end.
Yeah, and then everybody loved each other, and they were talking about this. And at one point, I looked at you and I went, "Tonight, on a very special Legends House." Like I was waiting for like the Full House music to play, I was really waiting for Jimmy Hart to say, "You got it, dude."
And it got really, really heavy. Like, and you know, because Patterson stands up.
Well, that was
Patterson,
the Fink.
You know, I mean. What was it Patterson said? He had a line, actually, when he was talking about, you get something about being stuck about when he's doing the roast. What was it he said?
What did he say? It was like, it was hard. It was hard to get out of him.
Oh, that's right.
Get out of him, but that's
like
not
what... insulting people. He's not used to it.
It's hard to get out of him, but that's not what Steve Lombardi told me. So.
Pushing and pulling.
But, I mean, yeah, and then it was really kind of fucked up, is that they got all kind of wishy-washy about, and Pat Patterson started to say...
All of a sudden, they started saying, are you walking around on eggshells? Who's walking around on eggshells around the other guys? And there was some moment between Bink and Piper and the limousine, and
it was
Bink sitting in the king's seat, which he shouldn't be, because he was only an announcer and not a wrestler.
Well, they were talking about it being a work.
Yeah.
Basically, Pat Patterson, they'll come in and say, and it's a work. He's like, I feel that we're working these guys, and we're not being us, so can we just fucking be ourselves?
Yeah.
Right? And then he said, I forget what his real name was, but he goes, I changed my name to Pat Patterson, but I went Pat Patterson, I just want to do... And then they get drunk, and he started to say, I want to be me, I want to be real with you guys, I want to tell you all about it. And then he proceeded to tell them he was gay, but they edited it off.
Yeah, and even as he's sitting there doing it, he's starting to cry, and he wants to be able to finally be himself, he says, and just really be able to be real and not have to hide anything, and not to be ashamed, and he's like bearing his soul. And Jimmy Hart, even before this, is saying, oh, well, we all, basically said, well, we all know what he's talking about, before he even says it.
We all knew.
Yeah, yeah. And everybody knows. And that's the thing that's weird about this, is this isn't a secret.
No.
You know, so I don't know what is this about him carrying it and not caring. I never thought this was a secret. And also the fact that you wouldn't actually show it then they would reference it, but not actually have it on the
air. It was really weirdly edited.
It was just like the weirdest, strangest end. And then it got even weirder with Jimmy Hart talking about how his daughter had died.
His daughter died a year ago, I guess. It was probably about two or three years ago now.
But,
and I think part of it, just to go back, and before we talk about Jimmy Hart, but with Pat Patterson and the whole, like, this isn't a secret and blah, 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 you're also talking about WWE and going on that Total Divas thing where it's like that things that they say are happening backstage on Total Divas aren't actually happening. So, I think that the intent of Legends House was to sell it, right? Was to shop it around to a Sci-Fi or a UPN or somebody.
I don't know if they ever get this. Is like the second last episode. I don't know if they ever showed this many in or
I think they shot the whole thing and then shopped it around.
I don't think people see the whole... Yeah, but I don't think people see...
No, they don't. No, they, what I'm saying, though, is that for them to... For us, it's a foregone conclusion that Patterson is gay. For anybody that owns the WWE Network, it's pretty much a foregone conclusion that, that Pat Patterson is gay, without some exceptions. But if they were going to... But the, if the intent of the show was to go on a normal TV, their hope is that normal people were going to watch this, not just wrestling fans. And so you can get that this is a secret.
It's not a horrible thing, though.
No, but to finally come out of the closet, you can say Pat Patterson finally comes out of the closet, and they're hoping that there'll be a section of an audience that'll go, really? That have been watching that didn't know he was already gay. That's what I'm saying.
Maybe he didn't want it to be known to people, but it is known.
And but the fact goes back to my problem with this is that they didn't say it.
And they don't say it, and why would he even have to say that with them when they all knew?
Yeah.
And it's just a very, it was a very strange thing.
It was.
And again, but again, you look at even Darren Young, he came out of the closet, you know, TMZ there.
Yeah.
And he got a lot of press, and it's never once been referenced on TV. They never once referenced it ever. Ever. And nope. So, I don't know. It's strange. It's strange. And then you have Adam Rose, who's effeminate as hell, and slaps people's asses, and they go, like, come on, slaps Contra's ass, and Contra's like, what are you doing? But yeah. That's a comedy.
Well,
and,
yes.
You know, and it's just a strange thing. Like, it's really weird in the world, and the WWE, and the way it is. And
I just look at the fact, like, I was waiting for Patterson to make, like, even if we knew that he was gay, for him to talk about maybe how hard it was for him.
Something.
Right? Because I'm sure it was, right?
He did seem to say it to them.
Yeah.
We just never saw it.
Yeah, we never saw it. And
so you just see him on his way out to have a smoke.
Well, and everybody's kind of hugging him, and you can see, like, people are glassy-eyed and stuff, right?
It's just weird. It's goddamn
and they've been drinking.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, it was definitely strange.
Yeah, so you had this really funny kind of roast thing, and then you had this really, between that and Jimmy Hart, just this heavy end.
Jimmy Hart's, his daughter died, like, a couple years ago. And
you're just, like, at the end, you're like, what did I just watch here? And I don't know what I'm supposed to feel about this. It should, and it doesn't even connect emotionally like it should, because you've kind of taken the guts out of it, too. So
I thought the Jimmy Hart thing kind of did.
It did a little more.
I thought it did. Because he actually came out and said what was wrong with him, or, like, what was bothering him. Pat Patterson never really came out edited, like, I'm sure he did, but they edited it to the point.
The person he's talking to is Tony Atlas, who was very good about it.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was very, very understanding and, you know, very supportive. So, but it's just a very strange... Thing.
Yeah, so. It is strange.
What are we going to do? Speaking of strange, you got any other notes? I got something here.
Total Divas.
Yeah, huge ratings.
Huge ratings. The most watched Total Divas going up against
Payback. Second most.
Second most going up against Payback.
Yeah. And all sorts of, like, NBA and NHL and all that stuff, right? Like, it was...
Yeah, so it's... competition. And they are skewing female demographic. The producer wanted to watch it.
Yeah.
Because it was a wedding.
Yeah.
Right? So, it was... So we watched it.
And did it scare her off of them? I mean, she's not doing nearly as good as Daniel Bryan.
My figure is just as good as Brie Bella. But I think...
Actually, to Brie, it's pretty close.
Yeah, yeah. But, John Cena again, wonderful star of the show. Just hilarious. Yeah. Just the way he's like... He's that guy that, like, knows his girlfriend is going to come up and just say something completely retarded. And, like...
He doesn't care because she's hot.
He just rolls with it. He's like, well, what the fuck now? Yeah. Like, yeah. Basically, right? Like, what are you... What did you... Like it's almost like if you're, say, a year older... Than a girl,
mm-hmm.
and let's say, like, you're 19 and you're there and they're still in high school.
Yeah,
and so he's just kind of like, what is it now? What's the most?
Yeah,
what was? Oh my God, tell me what she said that's so earth shattering.
Yes,
he's just like, fuck, and just the look on his face. But even he shed a tear.
Oh yeah,
in the wedding wedding, and then he's
a worker.
And then I now pronounce you man and wife. And the groomsmen all went, yes, yes. Okay. And Daniel Bryan turned around and went, no. And he, like, grabbed his head. He's like, no, no.
It's my wedding. Yeah.
Gone. Yeah. Fucker. But Cesaro came in with Sarah Del Rey.
Oh, really?
That was his date.
That's cool.
So, but yeah, That was Total Divas. Yeah, and WrestleMania happened. Oh, and actually the other thing in WrestleMania, Total Divas WrestleMania, last year, of course, they got bumped.
Oh, the Divas. WrestleMania.
The Divas got bumped, right? Yeah. So they didn't have a match. So they referenced that, saying, you know, that was shit last year, but they're going on, like, third, so cool, right? And then, of course, Mark Carano there, the talent relations guy, says, just to let you know, guys, you guys have been moved from third to seventh. Okay. So the semi-main, you know, the death nail. So there again, worried that, you know, if any matches go long, you know, that
they're fucked.
That they're fucked, yeah.
Yeah.
And then Daniel Bryan comes out after his match with Hunter and says, you know, the opening segment went 5 minutes long, right? The Hogan Austin thing, right?
I'm surprised that was only 5 minutes
long. I know, right? But anyway, so then they're all worried. And then they did a very good job explaining who The Undertaker was.
Okay.
And then they showed The Undertaker getting pinned.
Okay.
And then they showed backstage The Undertaker getting pinned.
Mm-hmm.
And then they showed the black guy again. But the Brie Bella's face, not unlike Shock Taker guy.
Oh, or like you.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'll never forget. I mean, we were watching it, and I watched it, and I couldn't believe it. I turned to you, and I never forget the look on your face. It was literally, like, you had not, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was Brie Bella's face, too.
Yeah.
And then they talked about the fact that, okay, now we have to follow The Undertaker losing.
Yeah.
So
now we're fucked again.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was a Divas Battle Royal, so they were fucked no matter what.
Yeah.
But that was it. So, really?
Oh, my God. Sorry. That came out of nowhere too quick for me to even
Mute. Wow.
Holy shit.
So if your ears are still there and you're still hearing this...
I'm so sorry.
That was Total Divas, basically. But yeah, I just thought it was interesting them showing backstage pics or video of people watching Take or Lose backstage.
I think I'm having a heart attack.
Are you? Here, drink this double gulp.
We just went... It was very popular.
It was. So like, yeah, you can't re-ever... You know, you never get back the same thing, right? Yeah. It's like they tried to turn Hogan again. It just didn't work.
I could try.
You could.
Want to perform the Heimlich?
No, I'm not licking that.
All right, so anything else then?
Did you know MVP is injured?
Yeah, they're fucked.
And they've taped all of their TNA shows.
Leading to him being the pay-per-view main event.
Main event, yeah.
And so they can't on TV, there's really no way out of it that you can think of.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's TNA.
It is. So nobody's going to see
it. So, you know what? Yeah, it's true. Nobody's going to see it, so who cares? Yeah. So it doesn't matter. So, yeah, I heard MVP was hurt. You have anything else on your little list? Let me look at it. Let me steal it for once.
Steal it. Okay. I don't... The scholarships. WWE, did you hear about that? The scholarships?
Yeah, something about...
They're offering a $5,000 per semester scholarship for any former talent to go back to school.
I see. It says planning assistance, but you made assistance the ass part really ass. Really big
ass instance. It's like pianal.
So, anyways, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, so that's a good thing. I think it's financial planning as well that they've offered financial planning, counseling, and people that want to go back to school, former talents, you know, like Coco Beware.
Hmm.
So, SummerSlam, they're also talking about...
You said talent.
Oh, right. SummerSlam, they're talking about Frankie can go back to school then.
Mm-hmm. There you go. They live to be like 200 years old.
Exactly, so you better get a fucking education.
Yeah, you get a job.
Yeah.
You expect to live off our teeth the whole time?
That's right. You know what used to get really...
Live off
you know what used to get him really fucked up, Frankie, is that Coco Beware used to walk around and call people crackers, and then Frankie be hungry.
Yeah, he'd always want one.
Mm-hmm. But the Four Horsewomen.
Oh yeah.
SummerSlam.
Oh yeah.
That's they're trying to work on something for them for the Summerfest this year as well.
Oh, they're trying. That's the Ronda Rousey thing.
Ronda Rousey, Misha, was it Misha Tate or
no. She hates her.
Who's the other? They're four chicks that fucking
Shane Baszler.
Shayna Baszler.
Baszler.
Yeah. Anyway, they know. Anyway, they're fans, and so they want to do something with them, possibly at SummerSlam, to lead then to a Mania match. So,
being able to get Rousey for SummerSlam and Mania would be big for them.
It would. More so a Mania, I think.
Yeah. Well, it'd be big both ways, though.
But, yeah. But that's it. We got some mailbag questions. Do you have anything else?
I do, yeah.
What do you got?
Speaking of mailbag,
mm-hmm.
We had a listener.
Are you itchy? Oh, a listener.
But I'm going to have to look it up. So why don't you go to one of your mailbag questions here?
Okay.
It's right here. I don't know how to pronounce his last name. John M.N. Poocht. He's at jpooch21.
Okay.
Poocht. Anyways, he told us about this thing, the Lonely Virgil Tumblr thing, and this Deadspin has the Virgil bag on his website, and he said it's funny, and so I'm going to read some of
these. I understand that's
air.
Very big.
So, yeah.
The Virgil bag.
The Virgil bag. So, it's true, like Lance Storm.
Mm-hmm.
And it's too close to Scorpio.
Yes.
So I figure I'd read some of these. I haven't looked at these yet, but I was told these are gold.
And Torito.
Yeah, so let's just read a few from this Deadspin. This is people who've met Virgil and their experiences.
Wow. Both of them?
Steve! He says, while I was in high school about 15 years ago, Virgil was part of a local wrestling show that my friends and I attended in Lorain, Ohio. He was the headline star, so you can imagine the quality of wrestling we saw. After the show, the wrestlers were available for pictures and autographs. There was Virgil, a few local guys, and a girl that participated in the show as a manager of the wrestlers. A hot young blonde in a bikini. Seeing as the audience consisted of wrestling fans and teenagers like us, everyone went to the girls' line. Virgil stood around for a while by himself, seemingly waiting for someone to approach him. After about 10 minutes, he seemingly gave up and went and started talking to us. That's when things got weird. Virgil started pressing my friend to grab the girl's ass when he took a picture of her. My friend laughed it off. Virgil persisted, this time telling him to stick his hand down her bikini bottoms. Creeped out, my friend told him he wasn't going to do that. Virgil seemed to be insulted by this response, called him a pussy and walked away. Only one person asked Virgil for a picture. The fan wanted to take Virgil's picture with him shoving dollar bills in Virgil's mouth like Ted DiBiase used to. Virgil declined. My second...
I want to do that now.
No. Hey, here we go.
And we have loonies.
My second story comes from about 2 years ago when Buff Bagwell was doing a local wrestling show in Richmond, Ontario, Ohio. After the show, Buff... And by the way, what can we call him?
Well, we call Marcus.
Marcus and the other wrestlers came to my father-in-law's sports bar. He sponsored the show. Buff was drunk when he arrived.
Nice.
And continued drinking when he arrived.
Well, why wouldn't you?
Some people started approaching Buff for pictures. Buff was prepared. He had a Polaroid camera to snap photos and was charging $10 for people to take a picture with him. Kids were only $5. He then put the money he received, which wasn't much, in a fanny pack he was wearing.
Of course he did.
As the night progressed, we witnessed Buff pop a handful of pills, make up with two overweight, very unattractive girls, and try to leave without paying his tab. After my father-in-law forced his manager to pay for him, two men helped Buff, who couldn't walk to this point, out of the bar, with the fat girls following him out.
Nice.
That's good.
Was it Judy Bagwell?
Sounds fun. Hey.
What does it have to do with Virgil?
It's wrestler interactions. Virgil's most of them, but any other wrestling ones you can throw in. So, New York area. Virgil, this is from Andrew. Yeah, okay. Deadspin.com. Virgil Bag.
Okay.
New York area Virgil fans can almost always find Virgil at the Coney Island Boardwalk on summer weekends. I've been there a handful of times over the last couple of summers, and each time there he is, idling the lonely minutes away as summer reveler. After summer reveler walks past his lonely table as if he was just another grain of sand on the beach and not an accessible once proud member of Vince McMahon's stable of talent. Having been a young boy and an avid wrestling fan at the time of Virgil's heyday, I was excited when I saw him on the boardwalk for the first time. This wasn't the excitement one might get from seeing a ball player they once idolized as a child. Nay, it was similar to the excitement I might get if I happened to see Jerry Suprian sleeping under the bridge. I don't know who that is. Sleeping under the bridge in that box he now calls a home. Or if I drove past a garage in Southern California and happened to see Tom Sizemore sleeping on a cotton side. Some dancing bears are just more entertaining when the music stops, I suppose. But if revelers follow my example and do stop to talk to Virgil, I spoke to him, but made it clear I didn't want to bother an autograph, which didn't bother him in hindsight. It seems he really did just want someone to talk to. And they can expect to hear some virtual directed at Vince McMahon.
Vitriol.
Thank you. Vince McMahon's Madison and Madison Square Gardens. Years later, I can't make sense of Virgil's ramblings about McMahon and MSG. Suffice to say, he feels both the CEO and the arena owe him a substantial amount of money, though his explanation as to why was unclear. But I do know that after the initial 60 seconds of speaking to Virgil, both my friend and I were deeply regretting initiating the conversation and slowly backed away from the wisely indifferent men, women, and children, enjoying the time on the boardwalk. All right, one more. Just one more. Jason.
The Terrible?
Says I was at the San Diego Comic-Con in 2001. At the time, I was head writer of the now-defunct comic book website. One of the staff responsible at the show was to hand out t-shirts, subtly advertising our site. My main focus was comic book professionals and related media personalities. Most of them were really cool about it.
Okay.
Eventually, I found my way into the Sale Pavilion, where mostly E-list talent and lower celebrities hang out and sign autographs. The celebrities included Gil Gerard, softcore porn actress Lisa Boyle, I beat off to her, and the guy who once played Uncle Owen in Star Wars Episode 4.
Was Aunt Peru there?
Brief aside, that dude was slumped over in a wheelchair, apparently asleep and looking more like Captain Pike in the Star Trek pilot than Uncle Owen. Anyways, I just successfully handed off a shirt to Frank Gorshin, who played the Riddler in the original Batman.
What? Frank Horseshit?
Gorshin. Shortly after, he started screaming at his agent in the cell phone. I began walking into the perimeter on the floor when I heard a voice. Hey, man. I looked up and it was Virgil. Come here. I complied because I didn't want him to hit me from behind with a Halliburton. He was standing in front of the table and it was littered with WWF trading cards featuring his visage and several 8x10 glossies with him standing next to DiBiase. What are those shirts? He asked. I told him and he looked at me for a second, puzzled. You want one? I was totally uncomfortable because I was pretty sure I knew what was coming up. And he says, yes, size XL. I gave him the shirt and he held it up looking at me. He repeated the text on the shirt and then looked back at me. I tell you what, I'll wear your shirt tomorrow if you buy something for my table. He gestured at his table, particularly at his trading cards. These are collector's items, he said. They're worth a lot of money.
A lot of money.
I asked them, if they're worth a lot of money, why are you selling them for $5? He gave me a blank stare. I told him I didn't have any money on me, but he could keep the shirt. When I made rounds the next day, I saw him sitting at the booth. He was indeed wearing the shirt.
It's his only shirt. Hey, I got a new free t-shirt. That's excellent.
Okay, let's move on.
Fingerprints. Okay, well, we've got a couple mailbag questions.
Okay. I nailed the bag.
Okay, well, here's one from King Vaughn. Who would you say was the greatest WWF/E champion in history?
Oh, fuck. It depends on what you're looking for.
Okay, but who would you say?
Greatest?
Greatest. Of all time. The Honky Tonk Man was the greatest intercontinental champion of all time.
Just ask him.
Yeah.
I have a tough time not going with Bruno.
Yeah.
Two reigns, like 10 years, and he sold out Madison Square Garden time after time after time.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they were a national promotion. That's the New York Northeastern area.
Yeah.
And if they had been national, he would have been a star still, I think.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And tough not to say him. He's not the greatest worker, but I mean, Hulk Hogan, again, as a worker, I don't know who's better between Hulk and
Bruno?
Yeah.
Let's put him in the cage.
Like, who do you think is the better worker, Hulk Hogan or Bruno Sammartino?
I think Hogan.
I think you're probably right.
I think Hogan. He didn't have
Hogan,
to be.
Of course, was the Hogan's undoubtedly the biggest star, most important figure in the history of the
I say Hogan. I say Hogan myself, who's the greatest WWF champion of all time. Hogan, why? Because he drew the most money.
Yeah.
I mean, you could say Austin, you know.
But again, a lot of that's circumstantial. Would Bruno have been able to draw that money too? Maybe. I mean, ultimately, yeah, I mean, Austin ended up drawing more, but Austin still isn't as important as Hogan.
As Hogan, exactly.
Hogan's the most important. Is he the greatest?
I think so. I think that makes him. I think in a worked sport like wrestling, if you're the most important, you are the greatest.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not. This isn't an athletic competition of, you know, catch as catch can, one on one like a UFC bout or, you know, or a boxing match or even an amateur wrestling. It's,
like I say, it's the most important, but a lot of that's circumstance, timing.
Sure,
but
it's still fact, still there, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know if it has a foreskin or not.
If you look at it for, I mean, what, 4.5 years, 5 years? What was it that? How long was it that that Backlund held the belt?
Yeah, I think it was, I want to say 6 years.
Maybe 6 years? Like, something like 6 years, 5, 6 years. Like
Four or five years, maybe.
Five, let's just say five. I know. He held the belt for 5 years.
Hulk Hogan was 4 years, his first reign.
So, I was going to say, if you look at it, if you look at it from this fact, Backlund wasn't the right guy to go national, especially at the time and everything.
Hogan, maybe if his hair was dyed purple.
Yeah, but I mean, Backlund also sold out Madison Square Garden consistently and did really good business. He was a big draw in that area, and he was able to have 4-star or better matches.
Against who, though?
Like Greg Valentine. Yeah. Different, like when he had the right guy,
Superstar Billy Graham was a great example, right?
Yeah, like so if you combine drawing ability with long-term, with wrestling ability, an argument could be made for Backlund.
No, it can't.
I just made it.
I know. Not well, though. Because it's Bob Backlund. And no one is going to argue that Bob Backlund is the greatest.
But if you're just looking, he's not at the top of everything, but he's probably the closest. Like, he's near the top of enough things. That he doesn't have the weaknesses that you could point out from somebody else either. But yeah, I mean, it's tough to go against Hogan. If he's the most important, then it's tough to not say he's the greatest.
Yeah, it very much is. I'm also, let's just have a look here. I think we answered his other question, which is what do you think will happen to the Shield in the long run? I think we talked
at the Summerfest?
No, in the long run.
Oh.
He said we talked quite extensively about that. The other question from James Wesley Odom.
Hmm. That's an excellent name.
I know. With the recent financial woes of WWE...
Odom, I hardly knew him.
I know. His name is Wesley. With the recent financial woes of the WWE, what do you think will cause them to tinker with the PG product somewhat?
Well, they already have.
I was going to say, they already are. I mean, they're going to push it as far until someone mentions it to them.
And that's exactly it. We've seen tables on fire. We see Brie calling Stephanie a bitch and Stephanie referring to herself as a bitch.
Yeah.
Cena was talking about
the boobies.
Yeah, and bringing stuff up the ass. I thought we were pushing the PG boundary.
Yeah.
And
chairs.
And I got no problem with that. Chairs, yeah. Like, and again, no problem with that. And they should, until somebody mentions it. And in some ways, you'll remember the last thing that caused a huge controversy was Daniel Bryan and the necktie.
Right?
On Chioda, right?
It was the other... Justin Roberts.
So, yeah, we choked him out there in the NXT. And in some ways, you could say what they've done and said since then, over the last 6 months or whatever, is as bad or worse than that. Because I didn't think that was all that bad, to be honest with you. But,
no, I never did either.
So, but somebody complained.
Yeah.
And so they had to fire him for a short term.
The thing is so the only difference...
keep going until somebody complained, but nobody's paying attention.
The difference with the Justin Roberts thing was that...
And it was fresh off the contract they had just signed with the toy company.
It was, so they were watching. But you also don't see that happen. That announcer get choked out with the necktie, or the ring announcer get choked out with the necktie that much. If someone swings a chair, or you know, so like that's stuff that you kind of get used to seeing, right?
Yeah.
I also look at like the Bella's outfits. Yes. And you can watch the women's outfits and how
they've
get kind of...
They've gotten a little
scantily
more,
right? So
they continue to over the last several months.
Yeah, and that's kind of a barometer as well. So, yeah. I mean, it's...
Seriously, you look at the women like 3 years ago, your super rock chicks like Kelly Kelly, like they were covered up, you know,
but I do think,
most of the time.
Again, I think it's going to take long-term money losing, and they're going to, when they talk about really veer away from the PG product, I don't know that they will necessarily veer away.
Because they have to look at it going, you have to say to yourself, we're gonna draw this much higher ratings, we're going to sell this much more product, we're going to sell this many more tickets to arena events,
yeah,
because we're no longer PG. Because we're going to lose out on some of the sponsorships.
Yeah.
We're going to lose out on some of the sale of different things. So, I mean, you have to balance it and say, is it worth it? And it's hard to imagine them ever saying it's worth it.
No, that's right. You're right. But he does say tinker with it somewhat, though, too. I don't think he's saying full-blown here.
No. But the other thing is, one of the reasons why it was worth it before was also because the 8-year-olds that watched were now 18, so it was the time.
Yes.
So I don't know that they've had, I guess if you look at, when did they go PG? Like 2005? So we're almost looking at the 9-year-olds being 19. So maybe it's time, but I still think I don't think most of those people have stuck around.
No, exactly.
It's the people
I can't believe that they added anybody.
They've added a few kids. And it's mainly the same people that were in the Attitude Era that were now 18 that are now 29 or 39 or whatever. Like, it's mainly these people.
And, I'll pretend they said 18, LOL.
So, yeah, I mean, but if you have a generation that's grown up and is...
A new generation?
And who knows? The ratings are down so much. Maybe they are. But,
yeah.
But I don't see it.
Well, yeah. Things get stale, right? And not even necessarily the wrestlers or the
again, that was also the time, the 90s, the grunge movement, the counterculture, and then the, you know, there's just different things that were you know, extreme and hardcore was in lots of things, and that's not today's society necessarily. So I don't know. Well, I mean, I guess there's twerking, but
well, I mean,
like, I don't know that it's the same thing. Where it's also, I mean. The Attitude Era was also a representation of the times.
It was.
And I don't know that that's the times now.
And I don't even know that we really have a defined times right now. Don't drink that.
No, exactly.
But, yeah, we don't really have that that definition right now. There's something to be said about maybe even a lack of culture right now out there. But,
and they represent that then.
That's right.
They're right exactly. In line.
They are. Right on the cusp, or on the brink of it all. Yeah. So, But those were our mailbag questions that we get to.
I think I'm having a stroke.
Good.
Shit.
That's like a reverse. It's a reverse Russian leg sweep, isn't it?
A stroke.
The stroke. Yeah.
Well, I probably performed a stroke at least 5-6 times tonight. I'm gonna go home.
That's true. That's true. One for every millimeter. So, you have to make sure you get it all. But, I think, so also...
That's Seth, not all.
Seth Rollins is a heel.
Oh, what? Let's talk about this.
Okay. I wanted to get to this.
No. I think we're done. We're OUT.
I think we're done. I think that's going to be it. We've got some stuff in the works for some shows coming up. But,
we do? He raises his hands like, fucking hell.
Probably.
We managed to keep doing them despite everything.
Yeah, that's right. Next week we'll do a Jake the Snake Roberts retrospective.
Cool.
He was.
Roddy Piper was cool.
Trust him. British Bulldog there, too.
Sheamus is not cool.
No. Or Alberto Del Rio.
No.
Mankind. We're going to see Mankind.
Oh, that's right. We're going to see him again, but that's not until September.
Not until September, so we should put up his last show. No. All right. Well, so we said at We Talk Wrestling on Twitter. We had some Twitter mailbag questions. We'll get to Addie, ADDIE, at WeTalkWrestling.com. We got some questions in there that we can do next time, and we'll continue to get some more, which is great. If you go to iTunes, you can just We Talk Wrestling in iTunes, and we'll be in there. That's where you can subscribe. Please, if you do subscribe, just leave a comment. Tell us what you like, don't like. It'll help us. It'll help me when you tell me that you like me calling Mo fat. I'll do it more. And that, you know, that's good. That's good, right? So, it's a good thing. So, comments and rate us. Yeah,
it's not a bad thing.
It's a good thing. So, it's a good thing. But, I got to, what else are we going to do? We're on Stitcher, like you said.
Tune in.
Facebook.com. Tune in radio app. Facebook.com/WeTalkWrestling as well. Heck, give us a like.
Hell, there's all sorts of different places you can find us that we don't even know about.
It's true. I find us on things all the time. These podcasting websites all show up when you Google us. So, all right. Well, I think that's going to do it then. So, in the meantime and in between time, you almost took a drink of that again.
I did.
In the meantime.
Thirsty. And I went, hold on. That's fucking 4 days old. And then I went, well, it's probably not that bad.
It is diet. Oh. But in the meantime and in between time, that's it.
Death in it.
It's true. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.
We off air?
Yeah.
So, thanks for saving my life, and I appreciate that and all, but you, I just want to mention, you didn't at all comment or give me any credit for my new Gilbert Godfrey imitation.
I'm just sorry you did it.